Hello, welcome to the recording for Children in the Wet in Ignite for Sunday. What is the date? Today, the 22nd of August. Time is moving fast. I know some people are going back to school tomorrow, which is good because they're going to a new high school and so they need some time to prepare and get ready. But for the rest of us, hopefully you have got 2 weeks to enjoy. So I hope you're well, and I hope you're enjoying the still dodgy weather that we're having, and taking care of yourself. But so today we're going to be talking about another country and trying to get you to work out what it is. So let me just find my notes and then we will get going. Okay, so the country that I'm thinking of, there's only four points in the first one. It's a country where Christmas is celebrated three times in this country. For 4 points, it has the world's lowest natural point on Earth. For 2 points, it is home to the oldest church in the world. And for 1 point, its capital is Jerusalem and its largest city is Gaza City. Did you guess which country I was talking about? I was thinking of Palestine. And the oldest church is called the Church of the Nativity. And the lowest point is the Dead Sea. And the three Christmases that are celebrated, 25th for Christians, the 6th of January for the Greek Orthodox Church, and the 18th of January for the Armenian tradition. So you've got lots of different things. Different things you now know about Palestine. So today, this week, we're continuing to look at the miracles that Jesus did while he was here on earth, and remembering that these are to highlight that miracles are a supernatural move from God affecting our lives here on earth, and that miracles happened then, but they're still happening today if we focus on looking for them. We can all pray for miracles and God will answer. God is amazing how much he loves us. So the miracle we're looking at today is when Jesus fed at least 4,000 people. Okay, and this is recorded in the book of Matthew, chapter 15, and verse 32. Just check that my recording is still going on. And it is, thankfully. Okay, so if you're following along, the book of Matthew, chapter 15, from verse 32. And the Bible says, let me just change this version. I don't want it to be too complicated. Okay. All right. Then Jesus called his disciples to him and said, I have compassion on the crowd because they have been with me now 3 days and have nothing to eat. And I am not willing to send them away hungry in case they faint on the way. And the disciples said to him, where are we going to get enough food in such a deserted place to feed so large a crowd? And Jesus said to them, how many loaves do you have? They said, seven, and a few small fish. And directing the crowd to sit down on the ground, he took the seven loaves and the five and the fish, and having given thanks, he broke them and gave to the disciples, and the disciples gave them to the crowd. And they all ate and were satisfied, and they took up seven basketfuls of broken pieces left over. Those who ate were 5,000 men beside women and children. And after sending away the crowd, he got into a boat and went to the region of Magadan. Read it the wrong way around. Okay, so this obviously is a story that's very, very similar to when Jesus fed the 5,000. And they are the 5,000 miracle is recorded in all the four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. But this one is only recorded in Matthew and Mark. But that doesn't mean that there's any less importance for it. It's just that we know the other story a lot better. So I'm going to just compare some of the things that are the same and different about those two accounts. So this is another time when Jesus fed a lot of people, but it's not as commonly known as the time when he fed the 5,000. And Jesus is interested in feeding us. In this story, I like that Jesus showed his emotions and he brings to the disciples' attentions the fact that these people have needs. So Jesus sees the people's needs, he wants those needs filled, and he brings it to the disciples' attention to do something about it. And the disciples obviously feel like they are not able, that they don't have enough resources. And sometimes we can maybe feel that God is not aware of our needs, and that's not true. He is aware and he is concerned about them, and he does want to do something about it. And just like Jesus did in this case, in calling to other people's attention, the fact that there was a need for this crowd to be fed, he can do that for us. He can let other people know that we have problems that we need help with. And we should take that help. We should. When people come to try and help us with something, we shouldn't be silly or shy about it. We should take the help that God sends our way, because God only works by using people on earth to do things. Sometimes he uses you. Sometimes he brings other people into your life when you have a need. So look out for that and be ready to accept help when you need it. So Jesus shows his emotions. He brings to people's attention. Whereas in the other story, the disciples were the one who came to Jesus to say, these people have a need. But this time Jesus is the one who brings it to the people's attention. And Jesus recognizes exactly what the need is that they have, and he's ready to use the resources that they have. And I think this is a question that God sometimes asks us a lot. And like, what do you have? Because sometimes we feel like we don't have a lot, that we don't have anything to offer, but we always do. Sometimes you might have, like the disciples had seven loaves and small fish. But whatever we have, it might be material things. It might be things that we have in our hand. It might be time. Maybe we have time to help someone else. Maybe we have emotions. Maybe, you know, it could be anything. You could have paper. You could have a pen. You could have something just to help someone along. So whenever God wants to do something and to use somebody to be a blessing or to have a great move, like in the story, he will use a person to say, what do you have? What do you have as a resource that we can use? So similar to that, it's loaves and fish. In this case, we're not told who the seven loaves and small fish belonged to, because the disciples just answered. Whereas in the other story, it was a small boy who had the loaves and fish. And Jesus always gives thanks. Again, he gives thanks even before the miracles, before the great thing has happened. He gives thanks and it makes a difference. I mean, if somebody asks you for something and they say thank you, you really do feel like you want to help them out and to give them whatever they need. So it's always good, even if you're asking for something, to give thanks and to appreciate the fact that you're going to get this thing, and that even if you don't get it, you recognize that you still should appreciate the person who is giving it to you. So I think it makes a difference when we go to God with our requests, but we also go in with a thankful attitude, an attitude that if you give it to me, I'm very grateful. But if you don't give it to me, I still appreciate that you know best, and you will give it to me at the right time. So Jesus gives thanks before this miracle, which is similar to the other one. And then there is lots left over. And that is what happens when Jesus blesses something. He blesses the small little thing that you have. And you not only have enough for yourself and other people to be satisfied, but you have lots left over. And that's when you really realize that God has blessed it, because you always get lots left over. And I think that's important to really realize that God's blessings are not just a fair few. They are more than enough. They are more than enough for you and for other people. So, we really should appreciate when God blesses us, and when God gives us something. He gives us not just enough for ourselves, but he gives us enough to share with other people. And we've got a memory verse this week, which I hope you will remember for next week. And it's from the book of Ephesians, chapter 3, and verse 20. And I'm just going to look for a different version of the Bible, so that it says it in much easier English. And it says, "Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to the power that is at work within us." Actually, I don't think that's the right one that I want. No, that's okay. That's my fault. Yes, it is that one. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20. "Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly more than we could ask for or think." Just to highlight that God is able to do more than we can ask for. If you imagine anything, then you haven't asked for enough. If you can think of anything that you think, oh, I need this from God, then that's more than what he can provide for you. So I hope that this talk has helped you to think of more ways that you can trust God, ways that you can believe him for more, and ways that you can start asking him for greater miracles and greater things in your life, because he's able to do it. He's able to give you more than what you need, and much, much more than what you could ask for. So do take care, stay blessed, and I'll speak to you soon. Bye.